Wow. Do you want some help with that?
No, I think it's best if I just struggle.
I think that's usually true.
Welcome to a bonus episode of Human Cannonball. I'm here with another human talking about something that's not a book. Why don't you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Finn. I'm a former student of BUHS and student of Mr. Kersey.
Is that accurate?
I didn't have a class, but I'd say I learned stuff.
Yeah, we did some restorative stuff together. Yes. We did. People are actually, yeah, I'm not, without spilling the beans too much, recently some students were like, are we going to do that with Finn? And I was like, nah, Finn doesn't work here anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
But yeah, and I don't think we met until this year.
Not really, no.
I don't think I met you. You might have known who I was, but
I think,
like,
you're right.
And it's weird, in retrospect, I realize, because we had that lunch, so I realize in retrospect that we have a zillion people crossoverage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all those people that were at that lunch, I have had as students.
Yep.
Not all of them, but like, and Kai has did the podcast.
Yep.
So cool.
What episode was he on?
Kaya, not Kai.
Oh,
Colby.
Oh.
Kai Colby.
Kaya, yes. Okay.
We did Handmaid's Tale.
That's, yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah, heavy stuff. Unlike, yeah. Well,
yeah,
that
book is.
I was going to say, unlike the topic of today, but it is heavy. It's just like not the same kind of heavy. We're talking about Adventure Time.
Yes, we are.
Which is why this is a bonus episode for two reasons. One, it's not a novel. It's not even a book. And like the previous bonus episode on anime, it's not that I don't know it. I do know it, but I just haven't watched them all.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, when Finn and I were talking about Adventure Time last, I was like, yeah, we should do a podcast episode about it, but I should finish all the shows, all the episodes. And then I realized that we might as well just do it because it's going to take me a while. And, like, it's possible I'll never finish them all. But I might. And I love the show. And yeah, I have a bunch of things to talk about. So do you have any do you have any themes that you want to write them down, or do you have them in your head, or it's okay if not? I wrote down a bunch of themes.
I've got like favorite parts of the show. Like, there's parts I definitely like admire more than others.
Where it's, I'll just jot that down, and if it comes up in the topics I bring up, then we'll just do it then. And if not, we'll at the end we'll hit it.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, cool. So here's what I got.
Alrighty.
I always start the podcast with like, what's our relationship? How do we know each other? But I think you've already done that. Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, enough, I think.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's interesting to me though that you and I met in your last semester here,
mm-hmm.
and like my, because I was off for a year and then I'm back, and like we're like ships passing or whatever. That's funny to me. And also that we did that restorative work together like fluently rather than like having known each other for years and then doing it.
Yeah.
It's fun. Here are the topics I have.
Okay, let's hear them.
When I do a book, I usually do a summary.
Okay.
And I don't know if a summary is necessary here, but we could try to summarize it, but we'll do that in a minute. I want to talk about our personal experiences with Adventure Time, like how we got to know the show and what that's been like.
Okay.
I think it's probably worth talking about some characters. I don't know which characters. There's hundreds of characters, so, you know, we figured out.
Uh-huh.
And then the main themes, this is just like kind of because we were like, we should do this. And then like last week I was like, let's do it. And then now we're doing it. So so it's pretty rushed. But I think I hit some things. I want to talk about the like D&D role play connection.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the first thing I want to talk about, but I do. I want to maybe talk about comparisons to other shows or like where Adventure Time sits in relation to the culture.
It would be interesting to talk about things it influenced as well, I think.
Yeah, so that's the same thing.
Because I think it's had a pretty monumental impact. Like, it pioneers in pretty much everything it does, I think.
Yeah, cool. That's good to know, and we should talk about it. I wanted to get at irony, and like the topic, as I wrote it down, was ironic / not ironic.
Yeah, so it does have that sort of... I think it often toes the line well of... Well, maybe not toes the line, but it feels like it knows what you're thinking throughout the episode.
Yeah, self-aware.
It's pretty totally good at knowing how it comes off, I think.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. And then I think after that, logically or like intuitively, the heart of the discussion is, what is so special about Adventure Time? Which we've talked about. That's like the concern.
What's
here
that secret sauce?
Yeah, what is the secret sauce? And yeah. Okay, gender flexibility. I actually had a lot of sub notes on this.
Okay.
Gender flexibility, so we'll get to that.
That's a big thing.
Totally. And then tropes and stereotypes, like things that keep coming up.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they're stereotypes, but sometimes they're stereotypes that only, they're like only stereotypes in the world of Adventure Time.
Yep.
This show's been, like Wikipedia genrefies it as coming of age. And I wrote down the theme adolescence as a theme.
I think coming of age feels odd.
It feels corny to me.
Because it's
label.
Like, because that makes, that puts the sort of implication that it's supposed to like speak to an individual,
right, like it's
and
YA,
be like, yeah, we are you. We're
like
trying to
YA
represent
literature or whatever.
But yeah, it feels very in its own world.
I agree.
Like
yeah.
I think that's a big part of what makes it so special is the fact that something so seemingly huge feels so isolated.
Yeah. Okay. And then my last thing is mythology / history / world building.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like such a big topic in this particular case that I put it last because it's like if we're running out of time, we cannot do that. But we all, because a lot of it will come up.
Yeah.
So is there anything there that like really strikes your fancy as a starting? I guess I want to start with our personal experiences with the show.
Yeah, I think that's
and
a
then
good.
Is there anything that you want to get at? Any of those strike you as then? Maybe we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. We can just go in order.
Okay. And
then,
yeah, we'll do, yeah,
and then
right.
If we start to feel a
sounds
certain
good.
Way about it.
All right. So what you want to go first?
Well, I saw every episode of the show as it came out, like on the days that it aired. And that was, I wish I could say it was my decision, but that kind of just like happened. I used to hang and watch cartoons a lot in the living room. And I think I was like 3 years old when it started, but I loved it the whole way through, and it's like my favorite thing. I think it's brilliant.
When you say your favorite thing, do you mean your favorite thing or your favorite show or your favorite piece of art? It's okay if you mean legit favorite thing.
I kind of feel like it's my favorite thing. I mean, like, I have so many things I like, but it just like does everything for me.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I find it enjoyable to watch. Like,
and
I mean,
you were 3 when it started?
I believe so. I think it started in 2010.
And you were watching them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your comprehension was much different than it is
totally
now.
Totally different. Yeah. So I kind of like grew up with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's neat.
I think I have a pretty unique experience with it that
right.
way.
Yeah.
Because I've gone back and I've watched all the episodes like within the last year.
Yeah.
Because I just, I can't get enough.
Yeah. And the listener will note that your name is Finn.
Yes, and which that will become probably a little confusing.
Yeah, but well, confusing for the listener or confusing for you?
Well, it'll be normal when I say Finn, but when you say Finn, I might feel like you're addressing
me. Sure, right, okay. But knowing now that you were 3 when you started watching it, do you remember thinking about that?
Like, why is it so good?
No, thinking about why the dude's name is Finn and how you're watching this show about a boy named Finn.
No, I always just thought it was a funny coincidence. I mean, like, I didn't know the meaning of coincidence when I was 3, but like, I remember like having thoughts when I was really lit, like in like first and second grade and stuff, when people, because I used to talk about it a lot, and I like wore the shirts and mm-hmm. the shoes and all that, and I used to have one of the hats that Finn wears, the white hat.
Wow.
And like my backpack was green like his. I really wanted to be him.
Yeah.
People would definitely be like, so are you like named after the show? Or like, where does that come from? And I always just thought of it as like a funny, it just happens to be that my favorite show also has my name.
That's the sound of public high school right there.
Yeah.
For the listener. It doesn't have to be like that, but that's how it is.
Deafening.
Yeah. Okay. There was something I was going to say about that. Okay. You know what another real indication that this is something special is that this is a thing that you experienced when you were a little kid and you got,
I loved it
got
then.
Deeply into it.
But totally you, in a different way,
well,
though.
You never rejected it. Like a lot of things from childhood tend to get
you
rejected.
Grow out of, yeah. Yeah.
You, and you start, there's like a cringe distaste.
Yeah, because you sort of like see the cracks eventually. Totally, yeah. You kind of like, oh, like it was like sugar. Like I didn't realize that that show actually kind of sucked and was catering to me as
right.
a kid.
Yeah.
But Adventure Time does not feel like that at all to me. It feels kind of, it feels like ever.
It's like eternal.
Yeah. Like anybody can consume it, I think.
Yeah. Like for me, shows like that when I was a kid are like things like the Smurfs or whatever, which like
fell
right
off. Well, things that are totally targeted to kids. And I think Adventure Time is definitely targeted to kids, but I think it also works for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for me, the show, I think like I didn't watch. I kind of like grew out of TV and movies in my like early 20s. I started stopping watching stuff. Like I'd live with people who would be watching movies, and I would hang out for a bit, and then I'd drift away to like do something like read or write or do music or whatever. And to me, Adventure Time comes out of like it feels like it comes out of the Cartoon Network thing. There was a period. In like the late 90s, early 2000s, I can't exactly date it perfectly when like
Cartoon Network was big, and mm-hmm. and it was kind of like it was just like a cartoon supergiant because of all the good things all at once,
and it was very ironic, right?
Yeah.
Like, so the first one I remember seeing or hearing people care about was Space Ghost Coast to Coast, mm-hmm. and then C-Lab 2021,
C-Lab,
and then Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yep.
And those are, I think, another. I don't. This isn't science or history, but people should check it out. I think there was like a Hanna-Barbera like buyout. Like I think Cartoon Network maybe purchased.
I think I know what you're talking. Actually, that does sound familiar.
And so then they have the capacity to take characters like Space Ghost or C-Lab and transform them into a joke.
Yep.
And so when Adventure Time came along in 2010, I guess I lumped it together with that. And I was teaching at the mm-hmm. time, and I had really sophisticated, smart students telling me, like, "You really should watch this show."
Yep.
And then. Tyler, the creator, probably on Bastard, but maybe on Goblin.
Uh-huh.
There's a line in one of the songs where he says, and then it's time for some damn Adventure Time. And he's talking about the car. He's talking about the show, right?
Yeah,
like, this is a rapper, and he genuinely loves Adventure Time. And he did
a voice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not in Adventure Time, but in Regular Show.
Yeah.
Which like paralleled Adventure Time in... Mm-hmm. It like always ran at the same time, and I think maybe the studios.
He's a fan.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's not like he's the one that tipped the scales for me. But at some point, I was just like, I guess I should watch this show. And then like I started watching it, and we've talked about this, but it bears repeating. I just can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that everybody says is that it's like. The show version of like an earworm song, where it just gets stuck. Like it's highly memorable. That's what.
But it's also like dreamlike in the sense that watching it feels like entering almost into like a mythology or a dreamscape that is like it's recognizable, but it's surreal. And the reason that that's earwormy and compelling and contagious. Is that it's like in a dream, you're trying to grasp at the meaning and it's right on the tip of your comprehension, but it's not quite, I can't really pin it down exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
And that's very, it's like on some level, it's kind of distressing to me.
Uh-huh.
But on another level, it's just perfect art.
That's also sort of a common response, I think, is like, I've heard more than one person say like, don't watch it before you go to bed. Like your dreams will be weird.
Yeah. Right.
And
yeah.
It's true. It can have a weird impact on your dreams. I think because it gets you thinking about life stuff
mm-hmm.
through like different colors. If you know what I mean.
I think so. I mean, you mean literally colors?
No, yeah, no, but- just like,
but your use of the word color is relevant because the colors are so
yes. Well, it just like kind of puts a lens on like a normal story
mm-hmm.
that it's like a kaleidoscope on a normal story.
Yeah, right, totally.
But it's not so broken that you can't tell what's going on.
No, totally.
There's like you get pieces of like a standard tale mm-hmm. that keeps you engaged.
Yeah, and it's very coherent. Like yeah. we'll talk about this later, but there's things that it's woven tightly,
deeply thorough.
Yeah,
very unexpected. It's not linear.
It's not linear, and that's what makes it so impressive that you could pull off something so. Yeah. What's the word I'm looking for? It's cohesive.
Yeah. Really complete.
The other thing about it is that the characters feel archetypal, but they're not actually archetypes that I recognize. So with some exceptions, right? The princess archetype is kind of recognizable. Mm-hmm. The Ice King is kind of recognizable. And even like Finn as a hero is recognizable.
But
some stuff is like...
Ice King is a little different. I think he only kind of half fits the antagonist.
They're only partially mm-hmm. recognizable. It's seen through a glass darkly.
Well, yeah, because they've all got this like at the end of the day, they're all buddies.
Yeah, right.
It's got like there's no real issue ever.
Yeah.
But for some reason, that isn't tiring. Yeah. That doesn't make it feel like a kid's show where it's just like, oh, well, there's no stakes, like nothing ever happens.
No, there are stakes that develop, and the stakes get heavier as the show progresses.
Yes.
But yeah, we're not, we could maybe save this for later, but does anyone really die? And I've only seen up to season eight.
Yeah.
Okay, who dies?
Unless
you're going to really spoil something gorgeous for me. So maybe don't.
Yeah, I won't. I won't tell you.
Fine. I mean, I can probably name some characters. Okay, I've seen, you know, Finn kills people.
Right, yes. And at the end, you find out about a lot of people who have essentially died.
Yeah.
There's some... I could talk to you about the end of the show.
We'll do it at some point.
Okay.
And the Mushroom War is a catastrophic death event.
Yes, that they destroyed a large part of the planet.
Okay, cool. Let's roll. You want to talk about characters or you want to get right into the themes? Will the characters just arise naturally? I think they probably will.
Probably. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, good question.
Or like a character that you're often, you feel like the most engaged
let's
with?
Let's say that we have to pick a character that we like the most, but we're not going to pick Finn or Jake.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm going to say BMO.
BMO, that's a good choice. I think for me... I'll try not to pick some like super random, obscure, super yeah. deep cut. Maybe I really like Peppermint Butler.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, what a strange pick.
I love Peppermint Butler, but Marceline is also
she's my runner-up without a doubt.
Yeah, but she's kind of in the Finn and Jake category where she's so obviously a stellar character. And I think there's a lot of stuff with her that you haven't seen yet that I don't want to spoil.
Yeah, totally. So who's indispensable? Like if you could narrow it down to the absolute smallest cadre of characters, it'd be Finn, Jake.
It would be Finn, Jake, Ice King, PB.
Yep. Marceline,
I'd say, but purely off like she's just, actually, I don't think you need her. She's very enjoyable to watch. Like, she's probably one of the most fun characters.
Yeah.
But she doesn't really move anything forward. She's kind of just like, they hang out with her.
And she's older than all of them?
Yeah. She's like thousands of years old or hundreds. Yeah. I don't know. Well, actually, she is pretty important because she's like, predates the Mushroom War.
Right, yeah. But of that group we've listed, she's the oldest.
Yeah. Simon. Ice King is the oldest.
I think that she's older. She just was little the whole time, right?
She...
Unless you know better than me.
Oh, well... I don't know if it's 100% clear when she became a vampire.
So she's a demon before she's a vampire, right?
She's a kid. She's like an... Oh my gosh.
But her dad is a demon. He's a demon lord.
Yes. Yes. She's born like... That's right. She's born part vampire, and then there's stuff that happens where the vampire-ness ebbs and flows.
Okay.
But
you think she ages? She's only like six in that Simon and Marcy episode. Legit.
Yes.
She's not like.
Well, there's more stuff about Simon and Marcy later on, but yeah, she's like an actual little kid.
Okay.
When he's an adult.
Okay. All right. Cool. We talked a bit about let's do comparison to other shows and cartoons and stuff later. Let's talk more about the show.
Okay. Did we pin down our favorites? You said BMO.
Yeah, I'm going BMO.
I'm going to go with Peppermint Butler.
Okay. Yeah, word. That's a funny answer. And maybe there's things about Peppermint Butler that I haven't seen yet.
Definitely. He's just like, I like his role a lot. He's like, right-hand man dynamic with PB, I find is really interesting.
Yeah, word. It's tempting to pick Princess Bubblegum.
It is, yeah.
And I want to talk about her, but I want to, let's do the ironic, not ironic thing.
Okay.
Okay, and I don't want to be pedantic, but I'm just curious. Would you be willing to define irony?
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll do it too, but I have like a pat English teacher kind of definition, so I'm just curious what your vibe is.
It just, to me, feels like it's like performative self-awareness. Mm-hmm. There's like, you can be self-aware, but being ironic is like telling the world that you are self-aware.
I got you. Okay, I'll give you my English teacher answer.
Okay.
My English teacher answer would be that irony is when the opposite of what is expected happens.
Mm-hmm.
That would be situational irony. And then there's things like dramatic irony where a character does the opposite of what they should do, but I know that it's ironic, but the character doesn't.
Yeah.
And then there's verbal irony like we call it sarcasm, right? Like I'm like, great story, bro. You should tell it again. But everybody knows I mean it's a bad story. Don't tell it again.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's like when we
I think that's what the show does so well is ironic jokes hit with people so closely because it's like, oh, you said what I was thinking.
Yeah,
and in the show, it's like it's the show that I was thinking. Like it all happens,
and you don't expect the show to be. Yeah, here's another thing about irony that's weird, because we live in an age of irony,
mm-hmm.
and irony's so played out, and sarcasm is so played out that it's almost invisible, because it's like the air we breathe. Irony in the sense that you just described it being self-aware, I think is this. You know, like there's corny slang from like elementary or middle school, you know, like kids they're serious when they say it, but then if you are going to use corny middle schooler,
it's different.
The joke is you wouldn't expect me as an adult version of me to use this childish slang. And we both know that. And that's what's funny is that I'm doing something. I'm self-aware and I'm self-aware that I'm doing the opposite of what is expected.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not ironic. So I'm going to give you two examples from my life. I didn't for a long time say, bruh.
Yeah.
And then I just started doing it and I don't do it with air quotes because I'm not being ironic. It might seem ironic that the 45-year-old guy would say it, but it's not. It just I couldn't not say it. It crept in. I adopted it, right?
Yeah.
And this is an even sillier one. The 6-7 gag. You know that? Do you know that thing, the TikTok 6-7?
I don't.
People would just be like 6-7. It's a reference to the song.
I'm not on TikTok.
That's fine. Neither am I. But like students were saying, I was trying to decipher it, and now I make the joke when someone says 6-7 or whatever. I hear the joke in my head and I say it.
Uh-huh.
And it's not me quoting students or pretending. I just think it's funny. And I think it's genuinely funny. And that's the thing about Finn will say things like he'll use slang.
Yeah.
That's really weird, goofy slang, like algebraic.
Yeah.
And that's
mathematical.
Right. That's ironic because it's not what I expect in terms of a profanity or whatever.
Yeah.
But also he's sincere.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like
donks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was looking at there's a whole like wiki page of slang.
Yeah, he just keeps.
Yeah. There's a ton of it. So this show, like if you were trying to be too cool for school and you were watching the show, you'd be like, this show is pretending to be childlike or like it's, but it's not pretending anything. The show's not pretentious.
Well, you know how it feels like, a great show wrapped in like a kid's sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
like targeted towards children, but it kind of I think that adds to it because it like it's sort of like an acoustic version of a great show, like it's stripped back.
Totally,
like we can make jokes without swearing and we'll make you all laugh.
Right. Yeah.
It kind of feels like why the first It movie is so scary is because it's all in the daytime. Mm-hmm. It's like that kind of stuff, like, never, like, you'd think you'd need it to be dark.
Yeah,
for it right. to be scary, because that is such an essential part of fear. But
yeah,
The
no swearing thing really hits on the head what I'm talking about. Like, that's ironic that it seems like it's ironic because he's swearing, but there's no swears, and it's still good. But mm-hmm. like, if I was in like sixth grade, I might not be able to hang with something that was, it would seem childish.
Yes.
But I realize now it's just childlike.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get on a like a Christianity tip, but there's some things that Jesus says in the gospel that are like, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must enter like a child. And I think that character is correct. Like, there some you really have to just enter some art like a child in order to really and really be in it, to understand it.
What?
Cardboard swords and cardboard, you know, armor, doing, you know, making a pillow for it. That stuff can be serious. It doesn't have to be ironic.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times when people are consuming any type of media, I think it's a specific age bracket, like teenagers specifically. And probably young adults are really obsessed with like
being
having the full picture and then being above it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I know what that is. I totally get. I've figured that out.
I reject it.
Which right. I think is kind of like Adventure Time is so great because they're like, you can't do that with like we're a kid's show and you still like it.
I know. It's so powerful.
It's like, it's like taunting you.
I know. Yeah. You, yeah, no, that's for real. It's, I want to kick it to the curb the way you would kick to the curb, like Teletubbies or mm-hmm. something.
Yeah. Like, just like some cartoon.
Stop, you can't stop watching it.
Yeah. Though. Or yeah, just like whatever that show is.
Yeah. It overpowers with its naivete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And another thing about irony, a good example of irony / not irony in the show, I think, is Ice King. Right, like he is reminiscent of a villain.
Yes.
He's a classic villain. He shoots ice bolts, flies around, steals princesses, right?
Yeah.
But also he's ironic because he's not actually that powerful. He is, but he's easily...
He could be.
He never really does.
Like, he, whenever he's at home, he's just, like, kicking back on his bed like, playing with snow. Like,
yeah,
that's
classic irony.
And the right only there. Time... It's funny. There's this episode where Finn and Jake are having sandwiches in the morning. And they're like really special. They're like really looking forward to them. And then Ice King blows ice through the window and he's like trying to attack them.
Yeah.
And it's like not a good time for them to have the whole
right.
engagement.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
They're like, go home, you're grounded.
Yeah.
And he does it. And then he has to hire a hitman.
Yeah.
Online to attack Finn and Jake, and then the hitman goes and he actually tries to kill them, and he's like, whoa, 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 what are you, no, you're just supposed to like punch them and make them spit
yeah,
up their
right,
lunch
right yeah, yeah.
And it's just I just think it's so funny how like they can just like tell him no, like, no, today's
yeah.
a bad day to be a villain.
Yeah, that's classic irony and
yeah.
classic self-awareness.
Yeah,
and it's not snide. It's they're like, it's mm-hmm. like, it's funny. It's
yeah, and it's totally charming. Like the whole concept of the episode is like, wow, this is great. It, Ice King's at home and he's frustrated that he can't go raid their house.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. You got any thoughts on irony? It's okay if not
on
irony. Come up again.
Yeah.
Things being the opposite of what you'd expect in like a really something real serious.
Something real serious. I mean, there's like moments all of the time, like throughout the Mushroom War stuff. I think they try not to be too like they can kind of feel when it's building to be like too much,
too serious,
and then they drop a joke. Like throughout the Mushroom War stuff, there's like real like harmful things going on, like. In the beginning of season 5, when it's that like alternate timeline thing,
yeah, yeah,
they like steal Jake, they like steal Finn's dog. These people who are running the town,
yeah,
that are like abusing people, and they are like kidnapping people and like destroying, the town, and they beat up his mother,
yeah,
which is like crazy on paper. It's like insane that would happen in
right.
the kids show, but the whole time. It'll be like something crazy happens and then they'll make a joke out of it and then they'll go back to it, and then they'll make a joke, and it never quite feel like I've never gotten a feeling in my stomach like, whoa, that's intense.
Yeah, they also break up that two. Is that like an end of season and beginning of season combo?
I think so. Yeah.
They also break.
I'm a little fuzzy on when stuff happens.
No worries.
It's so big, but
there's also like, I've watched those episodes with little kids before, and it's scary. Like all the green skulls flying. They always depict the green skulls.
The lich is really scary.
The lich is super scary. But those episodes, they keep cutting back to Jake and Prismo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And they're like just hanging out.
Yeah.
In the
and they're
bathtub.
Just watching it, and they're like, it's going to be cool.
Right. But it's like this. Yeah. That shift into like, that shift of like, there's an order of magnitude shift away. We're now like the alternate universe where skulls are flying out, and Finn is like trying to pull what is he trying to pull Jake out of the, I forget what's going on.
There's like that moat of like toxic sludge or whatever.
Stuff,
and
he's like going to die.
And it's like really stressful.
They keep cutting it up with Prismo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Word. Okay. The next topic I have listed is what is so special about Adventure Time, and maybe we'll just keep coming back to that. Anything? Are you like, ding? Here's a thing.
Because
I think one thing that is, I'm reminded in terms of this irony discussion. One thing that's special about it is it's like, its commitment to sincerity, even when it's being ironic.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's so,
it's never sappy and overly serious. But it's never goofy enough that I don't have to take it seriously.
I think, another thing to look at for that is like the romances in the show are like not serious, really. Like, it's just like it's like super childish.
Yeah. Why don't we actually use that as a good pivot into the topic of adolescence?
Mm-hmm.
Here's all my subtopics on adolescence.
Okay.
Finn and girls.
Yep.
The friendship concern, especially the like Finn and Jake as bros, and like Jake's married and mm-hmm. Finn's got girl problems.
Speaking of Finn and girls, I think it's interesting that they make it pretty apparent that Jake at Finn's age was really bad with girls. He's historically like bad with women.
Okay.
Like, do you know what JT Dog Zone is? Have you seen it?
No.
So there's this running joke in the show. I think it originally pops up around, and this is on topic, actually, it's perfect. When Finn is like between relationships and like starting to like crush on Flame Princess and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's like still not quite over PB. He's like having dreams and stuff, and he's like having a lot of weird, like, it's just like making him really unhappy. And then he reads this book by JT Dogzone that's like all about how to deal with women.
Is it like skeezy?
Yeah, and it's like you got to keep them guessing. Sure, like you never tell them your full plan. You got to keep them on the hook. You get as many as you can. And Jake is like, no, man, I keep that book around for laughs. You don't read that. And for the longest time, well, when I was a kid, I didn't get it. But then I figured it out. JT Dogzone is Jake the dog.
Right,
so it's totally a book he wrote.
Yeah.
And then later in the show and. A lot of stuff outside of the like Fiona and Cake and like Distant Lands and like stuff that's not a part of the main 10 or 11 seasons. Jake was like a total punk. And he was like got a mohawk and like ACAB stickers and the.
Yeah, you told me about that. Yeah.
And it's just funny that like I think it's cool the way they give context for Jake's like mentoring of Finn.
Yeah. The thing I was just about to say was. Jake, people around here are using the term unk a lot lately. You know that term?
Yeah.
Jake is classic unk.
Yeah, he's
right?
Totally
like,
classic.
He's
unk.
Like a bro, but he's older and he's more worldly experience.
I think
he's also kind of like
he's a little like intentionally naive though. Like I think he's learning throughout the show like around the same rate that Finn is.
Yeah, he's just
and
older.
I think he was set back at Finn's like. The idea is that he was like, he had like a crazy teenage, like he wasn't stable at all.
Yeah.
And Finn kind of is like a, like he kind of makes a lot of the right choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which Jake totally didn't. And,
I think
it's an interesting dynamic that Jake's not like his father.
That's the unk vibe though, right?
Yeah. Like I think they really nail the older brother thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but I can give you my best guess. That's how Jake feels.
Totally. Okay, dipping back to Finn and girls.
Mm-hmm.
You said when he's over PB, but he hasn't started his relationship with Flame Princess.
Yeah.
His relationship with Flame Princess is an actual romantic relationship.
Yes.
But his relationship with PB is not.
No.
It's a crush, right?
Yes.
On an older woman.
Yep.
And which is complicated by the I don't know if season three or whatever, like
yeah.
That chunk of maybe four or five episodes where PB, it might be a whole season, honestly,
yeah,
where she's little.
Yes. She's like his age.
Yeah, she reverts, and it's like she's not hit because she's real old too, but like she is, yeah, it's weird. Just her size difference makes her seem
so childish,
like she's Finn's age.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like, that's a very curious, I recognize that trope from other books and movies of like, you
and
know,
the short hair.
Yeah, boy in love with woman. And then in this particular show, the woman turns into a girl.
Yeah.
For a period. But they don't kiss, do they?
Kind of. They
hold hands, I
think.
They
like get along better than ever before,
right,
in that way.
Playing games together and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, which again is a good like example of the like naiveness or innocence of the show, is that like they're like falling in love. Not, it doesn't have anything to do with sex or anything.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. Even though she's not, she's going to turn back into a woman.
Yeah,
and it's
it's when Lemon Grab is in power.
Yeah,
that I was trying to think of when that was, but they're like pulling pranks on Lemon Grab, and
Lemon
she
Grab
does it on,
being my least favorite character.
Oh, you don't like Lemon Grab?
Can't even watch an episode with him in it. I hate his voice so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes me crazy.
Uh-huh. I think he's pretty interesting.
Yeah, he's interesting.
I think you would like. If you could do your best to stomach the voices,
I will.
you would enjoy the stuff when they move out and they start their own kingdom. That's really interesting.
You mean what Lemon Grab does?
Yeah. Well, so yeah. Lemon Grab is a crazy ruler.
Yeah.
PB finds that out. She made him as like a successor to her to run the Candy Kingdom. And he's like a dictator and he's evil. And she makes him a counterpart that's the exact same guy.
Yeah.
And they like, the way they interact is really great.
Yeah.
And they get their own kingdom.
I recently watched an episode in season probably 6.
And they're like horrible rulers.
Yeah. And it's all falling apart.
Yeah. They've got,
they don't
like,
have any food.
They've got this room where they electrify people.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the worst.
Yeah.
Okay. You got other thoughts on the. On the girlfriend thing, which is maybe like, I don't
he has like a real mature relationship with somebody in the future. Wait, at the end
sure.
of the show,
yeah, okay.
And it's kind of, she's like a wicked side character. Do you know about Huntress Wizard?
I don't
she's
think
she's
got I know
like
her yet.
Leaf
yeah.
hair, and she's just like in the background of Wizard episodes.
I don't know if I've seen her yet. Yeah,
they start dating,
okay.
Yeah,
you know, what's another thing about him and romantic relationships is I recently watched the episode where he travels with Billy's ex-girlfriend. I forget her name. You know Billy the hero?
Yeah, yeah. What's her name?
I don't know. Big... Yeah, she's big.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's another moment where like he's involved with he's like talking to this woman and he knows that she dated his kind of like hero?
Yeah, yeah.
Mentor type? And he like admires that about her, but there's like a difference between what she's been. The relationship she had with Billy was like an adult relationship.
Yeah,
Finn,
yeah.
Finn is still doing like a kid thing.
Yeah.
Okay, we nailed the friendship thing. I think we nailed. Jake never, in my experience, never gets jealous
of Finn?
Of Finn not being around and hanging out with girls.
No, Jake.
Sometimes he's sad that he's not around, but he never is like he never pressures Finn into not dating someone. I think.
I think it's either after PB or Flame Princess when they are talking, and Finn's like, and Jake's like, well, yeah, it sucks, but you can always just get back on the horse. Like, there's always going to be somebody else. And then Finn is like, or maybe it's like a bike where you can crash and like really hurt yourself and hurt everybody you love and even die. And he's like, well, I guess you could think about it that way. But
have you ever seen the movie Rushmore?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that's a great movie. And I'm just reminded of it because the main character in that is a 15-year-old boy who's got a crush on this teacher lady.
Uh-huh.
And it's really terrible what goes on. But it's weird how it's also got a bike motif in it too.
Yep.
Listeners, you should check out make some comparisons. And then the other thing about the adolescence, we were talking about this a bit. This is a weird topic, but stuff that's right on the edge of being sexually uncomfortable in the show.
Uh-huh.
And I made a list, and one of them is that you brought up the little people.
Yeah, there's that episode of the little. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
You have? Okay, so you know what the feeling is?
Yeah.
It's like, it's got this funky, like, acknowledgement that of sort of sex stuff.
Right. Because he's trained matchmaking them, but it's almost like he doesn't know. Well, what does it start with? It starts with him being like, so-and-so's hanging out with someone.
It starts kind of, another thing that we'll probably bring up, it does that sort of starting at the end.
Yeah.
It starts where him and Jake, Finn and Jake, it's like the end of the day. They're sitting on some hill. They've done whatever. And Magic Man shows up and drops the little bag of people into Finn's pocket.
Yeah.
And I wonder, Magic Man, I think, can I change my previous answer from Peppermint Butler to Magic Man?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Now that I think about it, he's my favorite. I think he does some really crazy development.
Totally.
He's like he shows up and he like pushes things forward a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, he gets the little people and then he finds them. Then he like drops them on the table and he sees that they're interacting. And then he sees that there's him. And then he starts to like matchmaking things.
But doesn't the show start with him noticing that two characters are hanging out? And he's like, could they be a couple? And that's what like, but I forget who the two were.
I don't remember who it was.
You know what I'm talking about? It's weird.
Oh,
it's a weird
it was
combo.
It was the cupcake guy and I think Lady Rainicorn.
Oh, really? Is this before Jake and Lady Rainicorn?
No, it was, which is why it's weird. He's like, interesting. There's like, that can happen.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Or maybe I'm confusing that. I know there's some point in the show where I was thinking about Time Sandwich, another Magic Man episode. That's in season 4. That one is really great. Where Jake makes the sandwich and then has to save it from Magic Man. But there's in that episode, there's the idea of like the like moving on from relationships. Like,
yeah,
somehow Cupcake Guy gets it into Jake's head that if Jake dies, Cupcake Guy's gonna marry Lady Rainicorn.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm gonna be there for your wife.
Yeah,
and then he finds that really upsetting. And
Jake does.
Yeah, Jake finds that really upsetting. So there is like, they like touch on jealousy.
Yeah, totally.
But I think that same pair happens in that episode. And Finn gets really like caught up in the what ifs, the like bad stuff.
Right. Yeah, okay. So other things that all the Ice King stuff is potentially cringy.
Could be.
The way he talks to Marceline,
yeah,
at times because like, he doesn't remember.
He's really bad about women. And
yeah, and it, just the general notion of like him, like, okay, he's stealing princess. That's his thing.
Yeah,
he steals princesses, but
Bowser.
Like to an yeah. No, I wrote that down too. That's a very Bowser princess. Our princess is trapped in a castle. Mm-hmm. Dragon captures woman.
Mm-hmm.
But because the thing is, like, the show never really addresses like what's his intention. Is the point like
there's one time
he wants a girlfriend. It's pretty clear that he wants a girlfriend.
That's because of his Betty thing.
I don't know what the Betty thing is.
It's
Betty Simon's partner.
Simon's
yeah, yeah.
girlfriend and
the scientist lady.
The crown. So Ice King is so like hell bent on princesses.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing that ever happened to Simon was losing Betty.
Losing her. Yeah. Yeah.
So the crown like amplified that.
Right. I guess what I'm saying about the uncomfortableness is sometimes movies and shows that are like ostensibly for kids acknowledge romance and jealousy and possessiveness, but we don't ever, there's always the question of like, well, what's he going to do? Like, what's he trying to make a slave out of this woman? Or
yeah,
does he want a harem of women?
Yeah.
And the show never really fully addresses it.
There's one time in the show, I think, where he actually does like, he like tries to marry someone.
Ice King does?
He tries to force her to touch the ring. He like, and it's some like wicked old random lady, yeah. And he's like lowering her down into a vat of water or something, like just some like ice thing.
Yeah.
And she has to touch the ring, and I don't fully remember how it goes, but that's the only thing I can remember.
And is that going to make her love him?
No, but they'll be married.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that's the only thing I can think of where he's like trying to force, like, typically
he's coercive.
A lot of what happens is he captures them and then he holds them in a sizable cell with things they want. And then it's like, watch me like play my drums, like check me out in my house.
He wants to show off. Yeah, right. Right.
He doesn't really. I don't think he like knows what to do beyond there.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And that. So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly. He doesn't know.
Yeah. He's like, I'm supposed to.
And the viewer might not know if the viewer's three.
I think that
the viewer doesn't know either.
I think because of the whole Betty thing. I think all Ice King, it's just longing. Like
yeah,
I don't.
Right. Yeah.
It's. I don't know that he's particularly interested in like a relationship. He just like wants people.
Yep. Okay. Sometimes Tree Trunks feels vaguely like something
provocative.
Kind of,
yeah.
The way she talks about the pies.
Yeah.
And then she's married later to that.
And her they make her voice like a little like.
It's weird, though, because she's obviously an old lady voice. But, I'm glad I'm not alone in that.
No, you're right.
At some point, you're like, am I making this up? But the show's playing with
she
some
can
kind
be
of
weird.
Stuff. Yeah.
She can be weird. The second time they do the slumber party. So the first episode, there's that whole zombie thing. And Finn says, Tree Trunks, get those hot buns in here, girl.
Right.
And she comes up with a basket of hot buns.
Yeah.
That happens a second time. They do another slumber party. And Finn says the same thing, but Mr. Pig comes up and slaps him.
Yeah, right. I've seen that episode.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
That episode's really good.
And I'll get off this topic in a second, but the other thing is like the assertive mature adult characters, especially women in relation to boyish Finn.
And yeah, what, like he really likes Susan.
Yep.
Who's very like he sees that she's like really strong and capable and he's like, "Oh my god."
Right, yeah. Well, he's also just PB, like his crush on PB, it's never going to happen.
Yeah,
and she's like on a different level than him. And then it really struck me, I don't know if they're mermaids or sirens or whatever.
The water nymphs.
Yeah, the water nymphs. Like when he and Jake show up there, they're like, oh, Finn's here. And it's like kind of a standard, you know,
he's got
topless
really
mermaid
have
scene where they're like coming by. It's like a big pool party thing.
Yeah.
And it's got a very like sexy vibe to it. But Finn's not in that place.
Yeah.
Psychologically, developmentally or whatever.
Yeah.
And the show flirts with that, which might be a way of, I mean, Disney is notorious for doing this, for having like, so classic examples in you seen Frozen?
Yeah. Of
course. Okay. You know, Kristoff makes that joke about, he says, what size shoe does he wear?
Yeah.
And she says, size, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And that's clearly a joke that's meant for adults. But what's so insidious and yucky about Disney is that they're trying to slide it past the kids so that it hits the adults.
Yes.
And the adults go, hee, hee, hee. But Adventure Time doesn't try to hide anything.
Yeah.
Because it's not making a joke. It's showing this contrast between Finn's innocence and like the world of adult sexuality, let's say. Yeah. All right, word. Any other thoughts on that? Broad topic being like adolescence.
BMO actually does this whole thing with a kid where he like pretends to have a kid.
And how did you get so pregnant?
Yeah. Oh, BMO. Yeah. How'd you get so pregnant?
Yeah.
He's got the egg.
Yeah. I was just watching that episode the other day.
Who's the father?
Right. And that, I want to get to BMO when we talk about gender because that's a good
Can't tell if he's.
Yeah, let's. Yeah. We'll do it next. We'll do it right now.
Yeah,
actually.
Let's do
we'll
that.
Do it right
BMO.
Now.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. We'll start with BMO, but the topic is gender flexibility.
Okay, yeah. That's all
and
over.
And BMO's
the
first topic.
Yeah.
And I agree. To me, BMO's coded female, but they consistently use he.
Yeah,
him
they
pronouns.
Call him. He's a little guy.
Right. Yeah. And that there's this one episode where Finn can he can turn people into things by saying it, and he turns BMO. He's like, BMO, you're a little angel.
Yep.
And
yep.
BMO turns into a little cherub, and BMO says, I'm a real boy, I got my wish, and I have wings, and then he goes flying off.
Yep.
But BMO's voiced by a female.
Yep.
And I guess BMO's gender fluid, but I mean, because I can't say that Bimo's a girl, per se, mm-hmm. but they use he, him pronouns. And
well, they often in the show, there's a lot of like cross-dressing.
Yeah.
And like Jake, like he like does his makeup. And
Jake does his own, he has his makeup on?
Yeah, he has.
I've never seen that.
He has episodes where he'll like do his makeup for events, and like I think I really vague memory, but I think I heard somewhere, I don't know anything about like animal anatomy,
yeah,
but I've heard that when he transforms into animals, it's often like the female version.
When Jake transforms into other non-dog yeah, animals.
I don't know that. I can't verify that, but like...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I've seen Jake transform into an animal per se. Maybe an animal shape.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, when he like stretches to look like them.
A different animal, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, okay. The probably the classic gender flexibility thing in the show is the occasional Fiona and Cake episodes.
Fiona and Cake episodes and LSP is kind of a reverse BMO. She's voiced by Pendleton Ward, the creator of the show.
Yeah, I got a whole thing on Lumpy Space Princess. Yeah. You think that she's gender flexible because she's...
Not just because of the voice, but I mean like she kind of... Well, she doesn't fit their typical princess mold at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, our typical princess mold.
Well, the show has like all of the princesses live in castles and they're like monarchs and they like rule stuff. And she's just like kind of out in the world like Finn and Jake.
She has no kingdom.
Yeah. Like, well, there's the Lumpy Space Kingdom, but she like rejects. She's like not. She doesn't do the princess thing.
I didn't know that.
She hates her parents. She's like, she's just kind of out living. She's like. A lot of the wandering travelers they find are guys, and she kind of fits that wandering traveler mold.
Here's what I wrote about Lumpy Space Princess. Mm-hmm. It's something else. So it starts with me using Lumpy Space Princess's voice in as a joke.
Yeah,
in real life, I'll do that sometime. Oh my god!
Yeah.
Right. And then I'm like, sometimes I wonder. This is my notes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if the show's a bit sexist. Right, and Lumpy Space Princess is an example because she's like a valley girl stereotype.
Yeah, yeah.
She's obsessed with Finn or whatever, and she's like
sometimes
clingy. She's clingy.
Yeah.
But then I wonder if gender flexibility is a deliberate counterspell against sexism. So like maybe the creators and participants in the show know that they're right on the edge of being boyishly sexist.
Well, I think
and that they fight it off with gender flexibility in the show.
I think that's probably right, and I think maybe the idea with LSP is not that is that she's supposed to seem like wealthy and like annoying because she like comes from money.
Yeah, yeah.
And is like not modest about it.
Right.
Which is like cuz like the in the Fiona and Cake episodes, like her guy counterpart is totally the same.
He's a vacuous male character.
Yeah, he's just like a valley guy.
Right. Yeah. And then like, so Lumpy Space Princess is an annoying stereotype, but Peebs and Susan are examples of like characters who, like especially Peebs, because like Susan, she's kind of masculine, traditionally masculine or whatever.
Yep.
She's butch.
Mm-hmm.
But Peebs is not, but she's not bound by gender stereotypes about women,
mm-hmm.
but she's femme. She presents very feminine.
Yep, yep.
So yeah, that's just a thought I have in general.
And with some of the like candy people, it can be really hard to tell. Like,
yeah, maybe all of them.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. If
well,
I
there's
have,
like chocolate strawberry. She's really feminine and like. Cupcake guy with his like mustache and everything, and
yeah, and I, you know, it's interesting. Like, for it's so political and such a hot button issue. Maybe it's not, but I feel like it's very of its time, in the sense that it addresses not like queerness per se, but gender fluidity, kind of directly without having to be all political about it. Just like it, just the characters just are what they are.
Yep.
We take it for granted. It's okay that BMO is he
yep.
and presents kind of feminine. It's like not even a thing that needs to be discussed.
Yeah. One more thing, going back to adolescence, that I'm remembering now is they do a whole episode on consent. Actually, yeah.
Do you know what it's
Hugwolf?
Hugwolf. Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's like a whole thing about like controlling your urges and like not being like aggressive on people.
Yeah. And obtaining consent before you hug someone, right?
Yeah, like that, the whole message Hugwolf, of that episode is that.
Now, when I was a kid, when shows like primetime shows would run those messagey ones, it'd be like a very special episode of da da da.
Yes,
and it would be like we'd be encouraged.
But that's just standard embedded, Finn and Jake adventure.
Exactly right. Like you say, they do one on consent, but that's because you've unpacked it as a consent episode.
Yeah,
it's not like there's a thing at the front that's like,
yeah,
if you're only going to watch one, you know, if you're going to show one in school, or if you're going to want your kid to learn about this,
and the episodes that are like that don't even really do like the Five Short Grables.
Yeah,
are like. That's totally just about Adventure Time stuff. It's not really trying to teach you, like, it's not really trying to, like, teach kids anything. Like,
no, the show is pretty much, like, amoral. It's not immoral, and it's certainly not moral, but it's, it trusts the viewer to make an informed human decision about what's okay. And sometimes Finn makes, like, bad choices or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not always, but, like, sometimes he does uncomfortable things.
Yep.
And he has to learn from it. You know, I don't know if you remember this episode where he's walking through the woods and he's thinking about how he could kill these birds, and he holds a rock over the birds and he goes, "Hey, birds, wanna die?"
Yeah,
and when I watched that with one of my kids when she was very young, she was like, "I don't like this at all.
Yeah,
I don't ever want to watch the show again."
What episode is that?
I don't know. He's like trying to find event. Maybe Jake's not around and he's walking around by himself.
He's like talking himself in circles. That's early on. For some reason, I feel like that has to do with, that's the episode where Jake is sick and he's trying to make a story. And he's like, what makes a good story? Yeah, tragedy.
Yeah, right.
Tragedy. Yeah, yeah. Hey, birds. He recognizes how horrible that would be.
Yeah. But he comes close to smashing them.
Yes.
And he does smash things. Yeah,
yes.
He kills things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I got a couple more things. Yep. I want to talk about the mythology of it and the world building.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get at the D&D stuff, and I want to talk about comparisons to other shows.
Yep.
Which one you want to get at first? Or it's the comparison to other shows is also its legacy.
Yeah. I like world building.
Okay. I can't speak to it that much because I haven't finished the show, but one thing that
How much have you seen?
It's hard to explain because I watched it patchily years.
Pieces.
And then now I'm kind of going through the whole thing from the beginning.
Yep.
So there's gaps in it, but I would say I have like a pretty solid understanding of like up to mid season like 8 maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
With patches missing, and I've also learned stuff from like reading stuff about it, because it's like, you know, it's everybody, the show's over, so people know. My main thing with it is, it's a slow. It's like any good art or any good fantasy, high fantasy or whatever. You think you're reading a book about a hobbit in the Shire, and then like, it expands, and you realize this is a huge world.
Yeah,
huge. Like a fully fleshed out universe.
And they just live in it.
They live in it, right, yeah. And my only two questions about it, so that's one note, is that in terms of D&D again, the tendency for a campaign to get bigger than the game.
Yeah,
like in D&D, the game, you're playing the game, and then if you're playing like a box thing, like a, what do they call them? Like a module.
Like
a module.
Oh, yeah.
You're playing a module. Underneath the module's plot is the entire like corporate universe of Forgotten Realms.
Yep.
Right. And you're going to inevitably uncover it. But even like playing one if you're sandboxing or building your own world, like the questions are going to lead to answers, and eventually the DM is going to have a wider understanding of the world.
Adventure Time with the world building, it feels like it often answers questions before they're asked.
Totally. Yeah.
Like it
hints at stuff.
Yeah. Well, like all the time, it's like they'll go somewhere. And there'll be some like obvious standout like interesting part of the scene is some like historical event or artifact. Like when they go underground with Marceline and they run into those globby people.
Yeah.
Those were just normal people that were affected by the Mushroom War mm-hmm. that got like buried underground.
Right. So you get like a little peek of the mm-hmm. Mushroom War past history.
Yeah, but yeah. there's also like I think in the episode where Finn faces his fear of the ocean, there's like things at the bottom of the ocean that you can see throughout the town in the flashbacks of like when Simon was living.
Oh yeah.
And it was normal. There's weird inserts of history all
this
the time.
One of the first things a student told me back at Keene about it was, you think you're watching a thing that takes place in one kind of time space, but no. if you watch, you kind of get the full picture. Well, you can see in a lot of scenes there's debris all over the place.
There's this really great episode actually that is exactly this thing. I don't remember what it's called, but it's all about Super Porp. So before the Mushroom War, when there was like companies and stuff, mm-hmm. One of the big ones was Super Porp, which it's a drink. It's like grape soda. And they have this whole facility, Super Core. And Jake, Finn, BMO, and Marceline are like skateboarding outside of some gas station. And then they see this drone come in and they're like, oh my God, that's a Super Porp drone. They're like still active.
Yeah.
And then they follow the drone and they see the remnants of like an actual city. And like there's like office buildings that have been shut down, and they have like chairs and computers and desks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
is the drone unmanned?
The drone is unmanned, but the factory's still like semi running.
Yeah.
And restoring Super Porp machines and stuff. And that's a really great episode that you should watch. And it totally is. It like opens the curtain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the big question with it, for me at least, is this Earth? And I don't know that's an important question to answer, but I'm just curious about your speculation. It's obviously based on Earth because the creators and the viewers are from Earth. So like we have to have some...
It feels like it is. It feels like it's Earth that's like met two calamities.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the Earth that takes place before the Great Mushroom War is still... past hours in time. It feels like there was like a climate change event or something, and then people came back, and then the bomb hit, and people came back twice as weird.
Yeah,
it feels like there's like the thing directly behind what Adventure Time, where it takes place, the like pre-Mushroom War stuff, still feels ahead of where we are now.
Yeah, and it's also very like alternate reality, like I think a lot about the elements, right? So it's like ice, candy, fire and
toxic sludge or something. Slime.
It's funny to think that like we right now live in a world where there's a periodic table of elements, and there's four forces, right? There's like the strong force, the weak force, the electromagnetic force, and gravity, right? But like you could live in the same world in a few thousand years and think those are candy, slime, ice and fire. So it's almost like it's just a different lens of culture over the same world.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. It totally feels like it's just like humanity's been reset and has some stuff left over.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's been reset more than once.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Okay, let's talk about where it sits in relation to other shows, and then we'll get back to the question of what's so special, and then we'll wrap it up.
Sure.
Word. So I mentioned the whole like Cartoon Network era,
yeah.
and how it seems to spring from that, but it seems to it exceeds its forebears, like it's a more perfect version of that vibe, and part of that is it's not as obsessively self-aware and ironic. It retains a bit of that. But it's more innocent and pure.
Yeah.
Does it remind you of anything else, or do you want to talk about what it is, how it's influenced things?
Well, one of the things that's so like surprising about it is how like it can be hard to like trace it back to other things.
Yeah.
Like it can be hard to pinpoint like, oh, that's why they made that decision, or like
it's influences are not real clear.
Not obvious. Yeah. It doesn't, it's kind of like no other thing.
Yeah. What do you ever watch Futurama?
Yeah, I love
it. I never did, but does it remind you of it at all or not?
Not really.
Okay. Because I haven't seen Futurama, so I don't really know.
Those shows are, I mean, people lump them together, but they're all very different.
Now, what about anime? Do you think it's influenced by anime, or does it, because it's, I mean, I think it's inked in Japan, but that doesn't make it anime. Is there any connection to anime to you?
It's very unlike the shows I've seen that are anime. Like, one of the, at least for the shows that I watch that are anime, they're like, it's all about the formula. It's like finding the right font to fit, to like make it satisfying. Like
stylized.
Yes. Because a lot of like the big three anime, like Naruto and Bleach and One Piece and whatever, are like pretty much the same show, just with like ninjas or pirates or ghosts.
Same muffins, different ingredients.
Exactly. But Adventure Time is like a whole different recipe.
Yeah.
So it feels like a little piece of everything, but,
yeah. So how is it, what do you think the influence is on the present? Like, how has it influenced? 'Cause it's been not running since what, 2018 or something?
Yeah, 2018, 2019.
Okay. So it's, well, how have you noticed its influence?
Well, there's definitely like a style of joke that they pioneered, like a certain timing. There's a show, OKKO, a Cartoon Network thing that was like came out shortly after the end of Adventure Time, and it just feels like this total rip, where there's just like, in Adventure Time, a lot of it feels like it's not about the jokes, but about like that the people are funny.
Yeah.
Like, you know, funny people. Like,
yeah,
you wouldn't say like,
that's how I feel about BMO.
You don't like reference their jokes. You say like, those people are funny. Yeah, like the way they are.
This is what I think about BMO. Like, BMO doesn't crack jokes.
Yeah.
But everything BMO does is funny.
He's so entertaining and he's funny. And like, it feels like kind of the whole show is like, look at them. They're great. You're gonna love them, but when other, I like OKKO kind of tries to be, it sort of does this like confidence in the characters thing that falls flat because they're just not as good as Adventure Time characters.
Yeah, so this gets this, but what is it that's so, why is Finn and I have some thoughts on this. Why are Finn and Jake in particular, but
yeah,
by extension, all the characters, why are they so immediately
like, how come
recognized?
They don't need like punchlines and
well,
like,
just what is it that's so appealing about them that I can't put my finger on? And I think one thing with Finn and Jake is that they are boy and dog. That's the standard thing.
Yep.
They're not the standard boy and dog, but we're comfortable with the boy and dog.
Yep.
As Americans or with 21st century people. Like, we just know that gambit.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy and dog. And,
for sure.
You know, man's best friend or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But the dog is older.
I know.
Which
everything's turned on its
a
head.
Twist.
Yeah, there's many twists.
Uh-huh.
And also, Finn is basically the only boy.
And he doesn't at all really serve the role of dog.
No, but they play with that a lot. Like, you know how sometimes Finn will be like, good boy.
Yeah, and he'll, like, wag his tail. Sometimes he'll pet Jake.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Jake has to like act like a dog. He isn't really.
Yes. Right.
He has to like make dog choices.
But Finn is a boy.
Yeah.
I believe that he's a boy. Even though he does read these ridiculous things that a boy couldn't do.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
another thing that's incredible about this show is Finn is never, in my experience, he's not really in peril very often.
No,
he's
always got it figured
out. He's
in
emotional peril, but not, it's not even ever dire.
The grass arm thing, that was like there are a few like serious events, but that's to like complete the mission. Like, he could just be fine. He could always just be fine.
Right.
But yeah, one of for some reason the most memorable lines for me is when Jake says they're going out on a picnic with tree trunks, and these monsters come out of the woods where they're going, and Tree Trunks is like, oh no, like, what are we gonna do? Those are a bunch of monsters. We're just three people. And Jake's like, nah, Finn's got it. He's 12. He's
right. And that, you know, another thing that's funny about that, I notice this more and more watching it, is like, Finn is deeply indebted to Jake's powers. Like,
yeah.
Jake's, every time he really needs to do something, he's like, let's go get them. And Jake turns into a dog with whose legs are 50 feet long. And so he walks.
Yeah.
Like, he, or he's be like, Jake, I got to get to the top of that mountain.
Yep.
And Jake will just elevator him up.
Ever there.
Jake is like the secret weapon. Like,
uh-huh.
You know, Finn would not be as successful without Jake, obviously.
Yes. And it's so continuity thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. They always know kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where there's like some glimpse of something that'll happen seven seasons later.
Yeah.
That Dungeon Train episode, I think you mentioned it. You said you don't like episodes like that. They like go out into the woods and they find this train that is on a track in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just infinitely going in a circle, and they go in and they just like fight enemies and steal their stuff and then like get stronger, and then
fight.
It goes on forever. In that episode, they see in like a future orb what Finn's gonna look like when Jake's like dead and gone, and he's got like all this gear and he's just like still adventuring, still fighting. And then in Distant Lands, they show him in the exact same getup.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy, like how...
Yeah, so while we're talking about continuity, this is a thing I meant to talk about, but I didn't have a good place for it. Let's briefly touch on, before we finish, Finn's arm,
yeah.
Like, because we know he's going to lose his arm.
Yeah.
And I was noticing in the Puhoi episode, which is like season four or
something. Yeah, way early.
He, in the future in the Pillow Kingdom...
Uh-huh.
He's got a pillow robotic arm.
Yeah.
But he in Ooh, he doesn't have the arm
yet. Not yet.
So they know. And I guess what I'm wondering about is, this is the same thing I always have trouble with the show, is like trying to pin down what something means. What is the meaning of his losing an arm? How is that relevant? Because it feels very archetypal.
He loses it while trying to save his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of loses it with his dad.
So is that what it symbolizes, is the absence of his father?
I think so. Because I think it's sort of like an acceptance thing, too, because he's
right.
never...
Acceptance of,
like,
loss.
Like, he's hardly upset about the arm.
Yeah, right.
Ever.
I'd be pissed.
Like, he loses it, and he's like, well, there it goes.
I know.
And then never again is he like, man, I wish I had an arm. He just goes
even
on.
Even though he goes through different iterations of a fake arm.
Yeah.
Different.
Or sometimes in like in Distant Lands and stuff, like he just takes the robot arm off and like hangs out with it.
Right.
Not on,
which is true of some people I know with prostheses.
Yeah.
They don't, it's not something they obsess over.
Yeah. But it's amazing how unfazed he is.
Yeah. And it also has like, there's like a thing too, like it's like great heroes often have a thing that's missing.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble coming up with an example, but I feel like that's what's endearing about some heroes, is they have like an Achilles heel. Like Achilles.
Yeah.
Achilles has an Achilles heel, right?
Well, a lot
it's
of,
not a weakness
a
for
lot
him,
of typical stories, adventure stories with like a strong, likable main character. Like there was like once glory that's been stripped.
Yeah.
And now the whole mission is to get it back.
Yeah.
But Finn kind of like finds out about his dad and then all of a sudden really wants to meet him, and his dad really wants no part in it. And then he's like flying away in a spaceship or like being ripped away by Glob or something like that's happening. And Finn's trying to get him with the arm, and then it snaps and he loses his dad.
There's another episode. You know this episode where he's building a tower to find his father?
Baby's building a tower into space.
Finish his song.
Where he's gonna find his dad.
But doesn't he say he's gonna rip off his dad's arm?
Yep.
So there is a definite connect, a symbolic connection.
He's gonna
rip
off his arm. He's got a ghost arm in that while he's building the tower.
Why does he want to rip off his dad? I think the show, the episode doesn't address why he feels like
they
must
never answer that question. There's not further, like, because we can't, that's another thing the show does that I find really interesting is the lack of internal monologues.
Yeah.
We just see the decisions they make. Like,
you're right.
We
never
get a thought process,
right. Yeah.
which I think is really interesting, especially for such like, for such charming characters. It'd be cool if you could like know, like you want to get to know
them.
You
want
to,
that's
like,
yeah, but that would ruin the mood totally.
You don't know
and
them
that's
at
also,
all.
That's an important distinction between a show and a book. Mm-hmm. In a book, there's really no excuse for the writer to never give us any of that.
Yes.
But in a show, it's built in. We can't get that unless he says it out loud. It has to be indirect characterization.
Yep.
Cool.
Which I think is another thing about, I think that is kind of, that adds to the secret sauce, is it's like, they kind of further that like parasocial distance because they're so great and we like the characters so much. But we like really, we don't really know anything.
We don't think we know them the way we think we know a character
like,
in a book.
Like they've had whole lives that we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And we get some, like stories from their backstory, but that's just like when you hear about somebody breaking their arm, like if somebody tells a traumatic tale to you, that doesn't mean you all of a sudden know their whole
how they
life.
Felt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why you make every decision.
Exactly.
You make.
Yeah.
But I think it's, that adds to like the allure a little bit that like, wow, that person is really interesting. They're all so interesting and we just never figure out why.
And the gold standard in creative writing advice has always been show, don't tell.
Show, yes.
And that
and
is
what,
and the
they
show
do that
sticks
really
to
well.
It very much. Yep. Yeah. So let's finish and let's revisit this question of why the show is special.
Okay.
Because I think that one thing that's been revealed to me in this conversation is that it does show and doesn't tell.
Yep.
And that's the same as it not moralizing. The show doesn't moralize. It presents.
It lets you decide.
Yeah, we have to decide. And we have to decide based on only these characters' behaviors and actions and not on little secret narrator privilege insights into what they think.
Well, yeah, because he totally could have been thinking when he lost his arm, like, man, I'm going to kill that guy. I'm going to go find him and I'm going to ruin his life. But the only time we see any kind of anger is when he like goes crazy and then makes the tower and is like,
right.
I'm going to
rip
my dad's arm off.
Right, it's not until,
Yeah. But it's like, that's like a breaking point. There's like no internal build.
Right. Yep.
Okay,
so do you have a final thought on what makes the show so special for the third time?
Let me ask it a third time. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the sort of like, is the confusion that it creates in the viewer for their role in the show. Like, I want to like feel like a part of it, but they do that show don't tell thing. Like, I don't know the characters all that well. And it feels so similar to the real world, but it's not quite.
Yeah.
And it's just like that. Like, where am I in relation to the show? I think is a huge draw.
Yeah, word. Okay, well, I'll keep picking at this, keep scratching this itch. And I mean, maybe I'll do another episode on it at some point.
Maybe one more when you finish the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be in a year or two or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, you'll be around.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem.